Starting in 4, and what I want you to understand is this passage is put together for a reason. There is the first part of it, which is talking about spirits. And we understand that in order to understand how to live outside of fear, we have to understand how to test spirits. Because fear is a spirit that is not from God. And so we have to understand spirits. The second part of this is that God is love. And that's His spirit. That's who He is. It's sourced from the very beginning. And we actually don't know how it began. What we know is that from the beginning, God is and was love. And so I think it's important for us to understand these scriptures. But the main scripture that we're going to hold on to today is found in verse 18. And so once we get there, if you'll hold on to that. So starting here, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Think about it. We've got to test those spirits like we talked about last week. It's a cycle. And a lot of times a spirit comes in and the enemy uses that spirit to place fear into our hearts, into our minds, to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you, y'all should know the ending of that, right? Amen. 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now here's where we separate from the world, because the world tells us that they know how to love. The world tells us that they've got a good understanding of love. What we know is that God was and is love. In this love, God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now I want to take us to the ending here at verse 17. By this is love perfected with us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. And think about this. This is it. There is no fear in love. We could better say it as there is no fear in God. But perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. God, today we come before you. And God, we just pray that your spirit would come and move. Allow this time to be a holy time. Allow this time to be, God, just a time where you come and you speak to our hearts and speak to our minds. And today we just pray in the name of Jesus that you would open up, God, open up new understandings to your word, and let us leave here released from the things that scare us, released from the things that we fear, released from the things that bond and keep us bound. And so today, Lord, we give this time to you, and we ask that you would come in might, come in power, bind the hands of Satan in the name of Jesus, and allow us to be free from him today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so we're going to go through a couple more things when it comes to fear. So each week, we're going to develop our understanding of fear better. I didn't do this last week, but I thought this week I would just throw it out there. I think that we fear a lot of things, right? Just simply, there are things that we fear. I say this often, but my wife isn't a fan of leftovers, and I'm not a fan of waste, and so those things don't really go together. And so if we have leftovers, I have to what? Cook them, because she feels like once you cook them, they've been cooked, and you shouldn't re-eat them, okay? I feel like once they've been cooked, they can be reused over and over and over again, right? I grew up in a home where we put the crock pot meal on, which was usually spaghetti sauce and an enormous crock pot that was homemade from the jars that were in the basement that we picked, that we did, and then we would eat that sauce in all different forms all week. I can't explain it. It's why I'm not a big spaghetti fan right now, because at least 3 days a week, all of my upbringing, she would pull that pot of sauce out, and we would have eggplant parm. We would have, she did creative things with it, but that was the base of our week. Now, my wife, on the other hand, if I said, let's make a base on Sunday and use it all the way through to next Sunday, she would say, well, about Tuesday, I'm done eating. And so in our home, if I'm not home to cook the leftovers for the children, guess what they do? They stay in the fridge. And then all of a sudden, neither one of us want to mess with it, and so we push it in the back of the fridge. Now, my wife is a very clean person, but there's something about the fridge that scares her. And most of the time, when the things are behind the things that we're using, those things stay there for a long period of time. And here's my frustration. She does this every time. She just did this. Tuesday is when our trash goes out, right? Now, mind you, if it's been in there for a month, okay, you probably should throw the container and the object away, which we don't do because she don't want to waste containers. And she will come out Wednesday when the trash is empty, and I will come home, and there will be a bag at the front door, which I hate to begin with. She's not here today because the kids are still sick. But anyway, the bag's at the front door, and I can see the flies around it, and I know, right, it's Wednesday, and she's done what? She has unloaded the fridge so it can sit in our trash can on the side of our house until next Tuesday. Now, I'm afraid of the bag, so I go in through the garage. I was already afraid of it in the fridge, let alone on my front porch in the heat. You know what I'm saying? In the winter, it's fine because the flies don't bother it. But there's lots of things that we're afraid of, and my wife is a gagger. And, like, she will, if she opens it, she'll gag. Well, the other day, I got so mad because there was two things in there, tomatoes that had rotten in the fridge. This is gross. And she left it at the thing, and I went to pick it up, and you know what it did, right? Phew. And I said, Lord, I'm going to lose my Christianity here for about an hour. So I stood out front, and I took a picture of it, and I sent it to my wife. And I said, I'm not coming in the house if you'll put everything I need out the front door. And when I'm done with that, I'm going to roll my windows down, and I'm going to take a drive. And then I will come in the house, because I've told you for 12 years, don't do this, right? And you can only imagine then it was mixed with glass because she threw one of the containers away, and it broke. And when she sat it down, I mean, it was just a sight. And so I put a mask on. They're very helpful now that we're used to wearing them. I put a mask on. I double masked, actually, and took care of it. But there are things, and I'm just joking, but there are things that we're afraid of all the time, right? There's just things that happen. Ashley was in an accident on a Wednesday. We went back on the scatter field where the accident was, and I said, why are you sweating? She said, because that's where the, right? Because you remember that. So fear is kind of a natural part of who we are. But here's the thing. God doesn't want us to live in fear. He doesn't want us to hold on to that and live in that. He wants us to be free from that. He's freed us from that. Why? Because he is a God of love. And if a God of love loves us, then we don't have to be a people of fear. And see, today we're going to talk about that. See, the problem is oftentimes, and this has really hit me this week, we fear other people. Because, see, not everybody's working out of love. And, see, when people aren't working out of love, they come after those that are. Think about it. Oftentimes, the people you have the most conflict with are those that are not living in love. Now, it doesn't mean a Christian, because a lot of Christians don't live in God's love. A lot of Christians live in religion. They don't actually live in God's love. Think about this. A sure mark of a false spirit is disobedience to rule and order, contempt of lawful authority, and especially any intruding into what does not belong to them. Now, what does that mean? Y'all don't belong to them. You know, half the people that you're afraid of, you don't belong to them. You know who you belong to? To the God who is love. And if he loves you, then he didn't want you to. Now, here's the problem. Sometimes we get into these relationships, and there's a bind there, or we're bound there, and there's some working out. But what I want to speak to you today about is how do we go from here today, okay, with a solid foundation of making sure that those that are in love are those that we're partnered with. Think about this. People that come with a spirit contrary to you will intrude. They will take space. They will come after you. Much of what I do outside of, and I'm not a counselor, and I tell you all that all the time. I'm just not good at that. I like to take you to the Word, and that's not what counselors do. But I can tell you this much, that oftentimes when I counsel people, there's always another party that's intruding on the party that's trying to live in the love that's rooted from God. Unfortunately, I look at what society is saying, and it's all about love, and it's all about, you know, love's a lot of things, and God has a good grasp on love. You have a good grasp on love when you live in love with God. What are some of the purposes of fear? Well, when the enemy uses people, it's to intimidate us and to compromise. Come on now, how many of you have compromised because of somebody else? Youth, are you listening to this? You will be called into compromise usually by someone else. Why? Because you're afraid of that someone else. It's hard to stand up for what's right. It's hard sometimes to say, you know what? No, not today. We sing it. We speak it. Oftentimes we don't live it. The purpose is an attempt to take away something from you, to take away some aspect of the purity that you're in with the Lord. It's an attempt to draw us inward. You know, that's what fear does. It makes you close off the outside and draws you in. But see, that's not what God is speaking to us here. But why wouldn't the enemy want you all closed up and inward looking and focused on and not looking out and afraid of and not able to fill it in? All right. So let's talk about John to us. First off, this is so simple. You're going to say, Pastor, we came out for this. Yes. Love is of God. Are you okay with that? As Christians, we should know that somehow it's sourced from God. It's before time. Love is sourced from a place that really we don't have a full grasp of. Love is divine. In fact, true love, and I thought this was interesting, the theologians say that true love is a divine property, meaning God owns it and he gifts it to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and then maintains it through the Holy Spirit. Are you with me here? Think about it. It's from God, and this is the avenue to which we can have love. Because unfortunately, y'all, there's something in us, right? The original sin, this bent, this. And so without an outside source coming in, the divine property coming in and us receiving it, we can't really live in love. Love can only be fully experienced with God. It's born of God. God allows love in, which cast out fear. I think as I thought about this a year ago, I often think, well, it seems so simple not to live in fear. And then even in my own self, as I looked back this year, how many times I held on to fear before I held on to. And I really feel like I don't hold on to fear. But as God really got down to the, there are certain things I do because I'm afraid of so-and-so. There are certain things I do because I'm afraid that this scenario is going to, I mean, on and on. How often, if we really laid it out, do we function, move, go forward in fear? But see, as God comes in, fear goes out. Y'all understand the idea of dwelling? Y'all dwell somewhere, right? So when you leave here today after you get together for lunch or after Sunday school and then you get together for lunch, you're going to go dwell somewhere, right? It may not be yours. It may be somebody else's. It may be yours. You may be paying the mortgage or the rent or whatever it may be, or you may live with somebody, but you dwell somewhere. Church, God wants to dwell in us in a way that's unique, in a way that's special, in a way that's constantly taking up more space. Don't you love when things take up more space? I feel like kids take up a lot of space. I don't know what it is. Yesterday, have you ever had those Saturdays where your wife says, we've got all these things we need to do? And I say, oh, great, let's do it. Do you ever say that? You just say, oh, great, let's do it. Well, I was in that kind of mood yesterday. I said, let's do it. Oh, I got to tell you something funny. So I really drove my eldest daughter crazy yesterday because I decided in the morning, I got up because she said that she ain't getting enough time. And I said, okay. I said, today's your day. I said, it's Janae's day. I called her Mimi and Papa. I put her big picture from 2019 in her school that she made a magnet of. I put it on my chest, and I wore it all day. And I called Mimi and Papa, and I said, today's Janae's day. And so I went, I danced with her. I put music on. And so everything was about her. And then eventually she became afraid because every time I came around her, right, I was doing something that was driving her crazy. And so... But here's the thing, the kids dwell in our house, and they just take over. So I'm up on the chair, right, working on some curtains that have fell off. Our house, this is fascinating, I'm not lying. The thing, you know, what's that called, stud finder? I kept going across, and it was every 24 inches in our upstairs. Now, it's 18 downstairs, but isn't 24 inches too far upstairs? That's why the wind hits us like it does. Anyway, but what I want to tell you is that the kids just seemed to take over. Everywhere I went to work, they brought all their stuff. Well, by the end of the day, there were toys in every single room. And Ashley said, what happened? I said, you gave me a list. And so that's what happened. And they followed me around, and they just dropped their stuff, and then they go to the next room, and then the whole night. But here's the thing. You know what God wants to do? He wants to drop in every place that you let him in. And see, every place that you are, he wants to come in and drop himself there. Leave his mark so that you know that he was there and that he is there. See, the problem is that oftentimes when the Lord is trying to draw us in and away from fear, we go into a room and we shut the door. And we say, I want to live here. And we let him stay out. And see, the problem is then love doesn't cast out fear in that part of who we are. If love is from God, then God has to dwell. That's just the truth. See, the problem is a lot of times other people are dwelling where God should be. You know that, right? Even in good things. And then we wonder why we fear around every corner. Y'all are so quiet. Sherry, you're here. I didn't know that. Praise God, I just saw you. Are you okay? Okay. Gracious. Second thing is, I love this. If you don't know, Sherry lost her mom, just, and so our prayers are with her, and look in the bulletin to make sure you know what's going on. In this verse, in love, but perfect love cast out fear. Now here's the problem with this, and I studied this week and really got my arms and my eyes around this. The problem is this idea of perfect love. It's this idea of perfect love, this idea of this word here. It's talking about complete. And it's not talking about you being complete. It's talking about the fact that God is complete. Meaning he's got his stuff together. You know that, right? He's got his stuff together. In fact, in him, he is complete. His love is complete in Jesus. It's poured out on us in the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't lack anything. You know how many of you live in lack? You go out in lack, you leave church saying that wasn't enough. And so you continue to just live in lack of. And yet we serve a God that is in lack of nothing. And see, as we think in the process here, when we let him enter into those spaces and he becomes evident in those spaces and we know he's been there, then we don't live in lack. Because when we go back to that space, his presence is still there. See, God is full grown. We ain't full grown. Some of you think you're full grown, but you're not. God is full grown. He's complete until the end. What does it take? Well, think about this. Y'all know about Jim Thorpe? Okay, two of you do. That's good. Okay, so I looked up just to make sure. I wanted to make sure I was right with this. And I said, who is one of the greatest athletes of all time? And Jim Thorpe came up, so I began to study him. And he was involved professionally in 12 different sports and became like the best at all of them. He's also an Olympian, or a two-time Olympian, who did like the DECA, how do you say that, and the pantalathon, some things that aren't even still around because they're, what is it? Decathlon, DECA. What in the world? Guys, I'm just a mess. Anyway, he did that. He won the gold medal twice. You know what they did? They took it from him because he made $25 playing for 2 weeks during the Olympics playing baseball. Can you believe that now? Do you know what some of the athletes make that are really good with sponsorships and endorsements and all that? Anyway, they took it from him. It's been contested. But he was the first, think about this, first Native American to win a gold medal ever. Isn't that tremendous in the United States? And he was a tremendous athlete. Now, here's my problem with him. He's passed on. But my problem with him is that he was basically good at everything. And I ain't good at much. You know what I'm saying? I don't really like those people that just, they pick up something. I mean, he played basketball professionally, baseball, football. And every ball he picked up, he was good at. You know those kids in school that just, it doesn't matter what ball you put in their hands, some of you are them, and you're just good at it. You annoy me. You know what I'm saying? I just can't handle it. I would go home and practice with my brother and say, I got to get better at this but there are some people that are just naturally gifted. They just have a way. You can give them any type of sport and they succeed at it. Do you know that God is just naturally gifted? That every area that you lack, he has no lack. Every area that you don't just pick up and just, he can come in and, I'll be honest with you, there's one sport, basketball, I say this all the time, it's just so bad, I dreaded it at school. I did everything from go to the nurse to I just had two large feet that didn't fit, they grew really big, really fast, and so now I've grown into them, unfortunately. But anyway, at the time when you're 12 and you got 13s and you're only like 5, you know what I'm saying, it just doesn't work. And I just dreaded it. And my dad would say, what is wrong with you? Just go out and practice. Well, it didn't matter how much I practiced. He put a net up. It was so nice of him. He put a net up, put a concrete pad. My brother was great at it, great at most sports. And he would try to, and it just never seemed to work. But I put time into it. You know, oftentimes we put time into things and nothing happens. And then we let God come in. And it's like time just speeds up. What's interesting is that God has everything we need to be loved. You know that, right? See, oftentimes we move out of love, step into fear, because we feel like that person's going to give us what we, and all of a sudden we're going to feel, and see, the only being that can do that is God. God's able to carry out what he spoke to us. He's able to do what he said. He's able to fulfill it. He's able to complete it in you if you'll let him. And you know what? God is what? He's good at it. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know the journey I've been on. I don't. I think there's something unique about this that we have to remember, and that is God likes to get in the start. See, when God gets in the start of a marriage, usually if things go south, you can go back to the start and say, you know what, here's where, if God isn't in it from the beginning, then it's going to be hard to, see, God's a God of good starts. And when you let him start in a space and let him come in that fresh way, because he's a God of love, he's going to stick it out with you and he's going to be good to the end. Let's think about the meat of all this. Abby, do you want to come up? Are you? So I want you to be practical today. And maybe this doesn't seem very practical, but I want you to think about some closing statements, okay? I'm going to read this statement. I want you to think about it. I want you to hold on to it. And maybe let the Lord deal with you in it. We decide what God can do so we aren't disappointed in God. You realize that? Here's the problem with, I believe, American Christians. We decide what God can do so that in our minds we say, okay, God, you can do this. And we don't let him go any further because we already think that God's going to disappoint us. Why? Because we say to ourselves, well, he didn't. And so we let him so far in the spaces in our life so that we're not disappointed. And yet in doing that, we live in fear. Some of us live in fear that God is going to disappoint us. But if God is love, then why not let him in those places? Think about this statement. We determine how far God will go in our life so we aren't disappointed in God. See, because some of us live in disappointment of God because he didn't do what we thought he should have done. So we live in fear of disappointment. And then we say, well, this person, and this person disappointed me. So I'm going to go inward and I'm going to look in so that I'm not. So we live in fear of being disappointed and we never really step out in faith. But if God is love, then is it worth the try? Think about this statement. We allow the fear of disappointment to determine our level of faith. Fear of how much God actually loves us. Because come on now, some of you say, well, I mean, I look at so-and-so and God is just really, why is it that they still have this and I'm here left in darkness, want, you fill it in. Oftentimes, we associate God with people. Now, I get this as a pastor all the time. Well, you know, the church disappointed me in this way. And so I'm not going back to. And somehow we say the way people have loved us is the way God is love. And the way God loves us. The way people have loved you, whether good, ugly, indifferent, whatever, does not determine how God loves you. God is love. See, here's the problem. He's not a product of love. He is. He prepared this plan for us because he is love. However much disappointment we are okay with is the amount of faith we function in so that we do not have to fear our perceived letdown from God. That's it. If we were living in faith that God is love, see, we often say it's an attribute of God. It's not. He is love. The scriptures tell us that God is love, so why are we living in fear? Well, because we associated people with love. They disappointed us, and so we live in fear of. And so what we do is we say, okay, I'm okay with this much disappointment, so if God doesn't work, then I'm okay with this, and so I'll go this far. I think it'll be interesting when we get to meet God and realize a lot of our disappointment was protection, was things we couldn't even fathom or realize. And so what happens is we let him in so far because we decide in our minds we're okay with this much of a letdown. What if we released all of that? What if we released it all and just said, you know what? Let me really live in the fact that God is love and he does love us and that he created us in love. And so why not today live in that? I don't know. The altars are open. Maybe today is the day you say, you know what? God, I don't have to fear being disappointed by you because I've been disappointed by people. Maybe today you need to say, I'm going to just fully embrace all that you have for me, God, because you are love. And this isn't like the love that we say, like, I love pizza, or I love, no. This is like that deep sense of love that we really don't comprehend because we weren't there when it was created. And so maybe we release all of our thoughts of what it is. Let that be a mystery and say, God, today, I want to be a part of the God that is love. And in that love, he'll never disappoint me. You may think he has, and give it. Some of you could give me a good explanation of why you're disappointed. I get it, because if I were in your shoes, I'd be disappointed too. But maybe, just maybe, there's something else at work. And maybe God wants us to just release that disappointment. Maybe he wants us to release that person that we live in fear of. It's a strong statement, right? Because, you know, you can only go as far with God as that person allows you. Because the fear in that person keeps you bound from... Why don't y'all close your eyes? The altars are open. If you're living in this kind of fear, maybe you need to just let it go. Sounds cliche, but let it go and let God's love come in. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear.
And all depression cease. Let every dark assignment bow down at Jesus' feet. Let every curse be broke. Let every storm be tamed. And all that come against us be bound in Jesus' name. Your presence is my greatest weapon. Pushing back the darkness, breaking every chain. My worship opens up the heavens, crushing every stronghold when I speak your name. Your presence is my weapon. Your presence is my strength will not be shaken. Your love will not back down. Death has been defeated. What can stop me now? Hold on to what you've spoken. You said that I am free. You've given me a promise. And you are my victory. Yes, your presence is my greatest weapon. Pushing back the darkness, breaking every chain. My worship opens up the heavens, crushing every stronghold when I speak your name. Your presence is my weapon. Your presence is my weapon. Crushing every stronghold when I speak your name.
God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that because of the way that you love us, because of the fact that you are love, that you can cast out all fear. And so today, let us stand not in fear, but in love, and knowing that we are loved by you. And so let us go out not in fear. We love you. We honor you. We pray that you would enter into our class spaces, that you would allow those times to be healthy, allow those times to be times that, God, we come to know you more. And so be with each and every class today. And God, we just ask that your spirit would continue to move in the life of this church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great afternoon.